But we're on week two of continual prayer, the discipline of continual prayer. I'm always talking to God. Three verses there again. We encourage you to memorize those. We've whittled them down to just three verses. And again, there's actually just multiple passages. That was one of my hardest things, is to choose what verses say the most things in the shortest amount. But Colossians 4:2 is the one we chose, is pretty much our theme verse. The other two are added. The older classes will be memorizing those as well. But if you want, go to chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, because then it says, praying also for us, that we would have an open door and so on. That's a good verse. Ephesians 6:8 has more about prayer there, but it talks about prayer and supplication in the Spirit, has praying always. So the idea of continual prayer with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, so it includes intercession. Colossians 4 approaches from a different angle, prayer as opposed to worry. So there's lots there. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds. So a benefit of prayer that's given there, and we're going to look at a few benefits of prayer, but there's so many, so... Just to review, praying is talking to God. Talking to God. It's a one-way direction of communication. There's three parts to prayer: praising, asking, and thanking. Praising is telling God that you know who He is. We use a very simple term so the younger kids can understand it too. Telling God that you know that you want what He wants. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Asking God is to meet your physical and spiritual needs and to meet the physical and spiritual needs of others. So you're praying for yourself and for others. And then thanking God for what He's done and what He has not done. Okay? And what it does not mean, there's six clarifications here. Praying is not repeating empty words. That's not true prayer. Praying is not telling God something He does not know. We're going to mention that a little more today. Praying is not getting God to do something that He would not otherwise do. We must ask according to His will. Praying is not a way to bypass obedience. It's the prayer, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay. Praying is not getting God to work against the choices that people make for themselves. He will not. He can, but He will not make someone change his or her mind. Okay? I don't fully comprehend that all yet, but God could change people's minds. He has the power to make everyone an automaton, a robot, but He doesn't do that. And instead, He gives them the option to choose. In Romans 1, they choose wrongly. He lets them go down that wrong road. And even, we'll talk about that not next week, but the week after. But even when you pray for somebody's salvation, do you pray that they'll be saved? Because that's basically asking God to change their mind, which He will not do. If God can do that, why doesn't He just save everybody? So something to think about there. We'll talk about it more, and there's at least one place in the Scripture where Paul says, I wish that, and my desire and prayer for someone is that they might be saved. So, I mean, we're not throwing that completely out, but the scriptural prayer for salvation seems to be for our boldness in sharing the gospel, for an open door, because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. We don't pray for someone's salvation and bypass the gospel either. It takes the gospel to get somebody saved. Okay. So we'll talk about that more. So don't stop praying for people's salvation. I'm just saying there's maybe things that we should pray that are more directly related to Scripture. But in the meantime, keep praying. Praying is not two-way communication. Through prayer, we talk to God. God talks to us through His Word. And I use talk in a general sense. The same people that say that you worship your Bible that I just mentioned also say that the Bible isn't inspired. That God speaks to us out of His Word, but it's not the Word itself. It's what the Word does in us. That's Karl Barth. That's neo-orthodoxy. That's the Bible's not inspired. What God does through it is inspired. That, we reject that. It's the very words, not one jot or tittle, shall pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Okay? So be very careful. There's a lot of false teaching out there, and it's nothing new. It goes back to, yes, has God said? Because if ultimately it's not the Bible that's inspired, it's me that's inspired, there is no ultimate truth either. There's no absolute. I'm my own authority, and the Bible doesn't give you or I that right. So I don't think I'm losing my voice. I've just been talking a lot today. So now, why pray? Before we go down the list, some of you probably already read and corrected my list. Why pray? Go ahead. You listed a lot last week, and so I want to get this. Annie. Yeah. To seek God's will. Now, how does He tell us His will? Yeah, to His Word. Okay, that's what... I differ with others that would say, no, God is impressed upon me to do this. So I was like, how do you know it's God impressing you? How do you know it's not? Anyone here thought God was impressing him to do something and kind of later on felt, I think that was me after all? You know, the Bible says we can't even discern our own thoughts and intents of our own hearts. So, to see God's will. And by the way, I'm leveraging this off of the idea, for God knows what you need before you ask. Matthew 6:8. Why pray? If God already knows what I need, what's the point of praying? Okay. I'm going to capitalize this and have a relationship. Right, pray, and you often see that. People pray, but they don't read the Bible. And it's like, that is like salt without meat. You're missing the point. Okay, so, by the way, I'm emphasizing this. I believe prayer is directed to God, but has everything to do with us. As far as it doesn't benefit God. God's perfect, so you're not going to make Him better. You're not going to grow Him. He knows everything, so you're not going to inform Him. He can do everything, so you're not going to help Him. All of those things. So, Lynn. But couldn't God create a clean heart anyway? So, that's the heart. It's like, God is bigger than this puny brain here. So. Annie, you had another one?
Yeah, to mold our will to His will. Sometimes we don't see how
it is. Yeah. Or maybe most of the time, at least if you think you're seeing everything okay, and you think you're seeing clearly, and then you find out you were in a fog the whole time. I saw them right after they were born. I remember how tiny they were.
I was like,
Right. Right. We're going to look at one verse today, but it talks about come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and grace and help in time of need. And it's, I think mercy is kind of that thank you, God, for not doing what would be fair or just or righteous, you know. Right. There's a lot of stuff that I think will be impressed. Right. We'll talk more. There's a lot more to pray about. It's not like we run out of things if we can't pray for someone's salvation directly. They prayed a lot in the early church. We'll talk about that too. Others, go ahead. To help us know of our dependence. Did I spell that right? Is there an A in dependence? Okay. Okay. This gives us an idea. And you had several last week, and I don't know if we caught all those, but they're good. I want to get your gears turned there. Right below there, it says, why pray? If God knows everything and knows our needs before we ask, why should we pray at all? And then there's a little outline here, and this is what the younger grades are using. But it's a little poem almost. So we pray because we can. These are my 4 points today. Okay, we pray because we can. We pray because we should. We pray because others prayed. We pray because of good. That's my 4 points. Okay? So try and get those in your head, and that'll remind you. We pray because we can. We pray because we should. We pray because others prayed. We pray because of good. Okay? Just a little ditty there that Ted can dance to while he's... By the way, Jane tried it, and she thinks Farmer in the Dell works with that. We pray because we can. We pray. Just so when you're at work, you can... Never mind. People already think you're a leprechaun already. It's like, where's your pot of gold, Ted? Okay, but we pray because we can. We pray because we should. We pray because others prayed. We pray because of good. We're going to talk about those four in a little broader sense. Number one, why are we to be praying? And again, there were some underlines here, and I think, you know, we aren't going to have time to fill in a lot of blanks. So if you want a keyword, praying, and I want to be praying because the emphasis of this whole series is continual prayer, because that's what the Bible teaches. Ongoing prayer. We are to be praying because we can. And the key word there is privilege. Why? Because we have the privilege to do that. It is a great privilege to pray to God. Now, regardless of your political persuasion, if you could call President Barack Obama on the phone every day, and he would answer the phone, and you could tell him what you need, would you do it? Last week I said I didn't vote for him, but I would. I'd be bending his ear every day. Now, Barack Obama is not God. And he doesn't have many things right, as I understand it, with our just perspective. But if you had that privilege, and you can pick whomever you want, someone that could actually have the power to do something, even if it's just a chat, kind of an inside thing, and again, I don't think I probably have a lot in common with him from a perspective standpoint. We're both sinners, we both need Christ and all of that, so there's a lot in common in that way. But I would be calling him. Because I could. I'd have that right. I'd have that privilege. And we do have that privilege before God to access the Father by simply praying. And guess what? You don't even have to. I grew up with Batman, the old Batman. Remember the black, the good Batman. He always did right and good and all of that. And they never would outright kill him. They'd always put him in a freezer and try and freeze him and stuff. Where was I going? Oh, the bat phone. Commissioner Gordon would call on the phone to the bat phone. You know, and Alfred, sir, it's the bat phone. And then what was the aunt, whatever? What was it? It's that phone, sir. You know, it's like a, but it was the direct communication that they had to Batman. Now, God isn't Batman either. But the idea is you don't have to be in a certain place and have that phone either. We can pray to God wherever we're at. What a privilege. Now, talk to me about the Old Testament. The priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year. How many was that again? The priest. The high priest went once a year, and they always tied something around his ankle just in case. Now, I know they prayed in the Old Testament, but I don't think it was nearly the direct approach that we have today. And I don't think we get the privilege that we have. Okay? 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 talks about the privilege. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We have a mediator between God and men. We have direct access through Jesus Christ to God the Father. Now we can talk to this creator of the universe directly. I mean, if you wanted to talk and pick anybody, if it's business, Bill Gates, or sports, who's a big cheese in sports, Dad? All your pals, Brett Favre. You know, if you wanted to talk to somebody, you would almost probably never get a chance to talk to them directly unless you had some kind of insight, and you would go through so many people to get to that person. You can talk to God directly. By the way, He outranks all of those people. He made them. He's their creator. Ephesians 2:8, for through Him, talking about Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. I'm talking about both, the Jews and the Gentiles. That's Ephesians 2 there. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And again, the Trinity works all together in prayer too. We pray by means of the Spirit because of the Son to the Father. We pray to God the Father, not the Son or the Spirit, normally, the way the Bible relays that. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit, through Jesus, by the Spirit, to the Father. There you have. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the idea there, we're going to come back to that verse later on in another point, but the idea is, why not take advantage of the privilege that you have? Now, this has nothing to do with prayer, okay? I'm shifting gears a little. We're a member of AAA. You know, AAA, that auto, I don't know what it means. AAA means AAA. That's American. That's what I meant, AAA. I do it more, I get discounts at motels and stuff. It pretty much pays for itself, so it helps, and there's some benefits. But Jay noticed last night, she bought me a table in my office here. It's kind of a bistro table, a little taller table. She got it for $250 table for $49. It didn't come with chairs. We're looking at chairs, and she goes, you know what? I didn't know this, but AAA, you get a discount. Even if it's on sale, like if you order from Target, that's where she got this. These chairs are on sale, but AAA gives you 10% off of that or 15 or whatever it is. And it's like, why wouldn't you do that if you had that privilege, that right to do that? Why wouldn't you take advantage of the privilege if you could do that? And folks, we have the greatest privilege that you could state in all the universe to be able to talk directly to God. We pray because we can. Why wouldn't you do that? Again, I'm in the computer world at work. If I had direct access to... Bill Gates is kind of semi-retired now. I think he's greeting people at Walmart. I'm not sure, but you know, kind of supplementing his income. But when he was in charge of Microsoft, if I could have had access to him, probably every other day I'd be giving him a piece of my mind. Yes, I know I can't afford that, but you know what I'm saying? You know, why is this? Why are your licensing policies this way? Why is this or whatever? Now, again, that's from a human level and imperfection, all that, but if you have access, why wouldn't you do that? You have access. You pray because you can. You have access to God directly. And you can pray anywhere. You don't have to pay per minute. You don't have a contract. By the way, it's a contract, but he's already paid for it. Okay? Never expires. It's never, you don't have to wait till 7 or 9 to call or weekends. Why wouldn't you? You pray because we can. We should be praying because we can. We have access to the Father. It's a privilege that we have already. We pray because we can. All right? Most people don't have access to anybody important. But because we're saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to God, who is all important. Questions or comments for that one? That's not hard to understand, really. Annie?
We also play the same week in the first or second camera when it says that I can see sin and pray.
Yes, God forbid that I would see sin in ceasing to pray for you. That's right, that is in 2 Samuel. Samuel said that. Yeah, even it's a sin not to pray. In reality. So that'll actually tie into the next verse here. So, Valerie, you have something.
And right here in verse 16,
yep, and we're actually going to grab that later on point number 4. So we can, in point 1, we pray because of good that we receive in point 4. So you got it. We'll be there. So, good observation there. Number 2. Number 1 is we pray because we can. Number 2 is we pray because we should. We are to be praying because we should. It's a command. Just like what Annie was just saying. It's not only something we get to do, it's something we're told to do. Okay? So there's lots of reasons to pray, but one is because God commanded us to. We are commanded to pray, and boy, I wiped out a bunch of these, and there's way more. Folks, when you start talking about prayer, it's all throughout the Bible. You cannot exhaust the topic of prayer at all. You can study just an individual, Nehemiah's praying, or Daniel's praying, or all these, Hannah, how she prayed. My wife in her class is highlighting some Old Testament saints, what we're going to get to on the next verse, or next point. But all of these, there's ways to study the effects of prayer, how Jesus prayed, even just the Lord's Prayer itself, which we kind of looked at a little bit last week, the model prayer. You can't end. It doesn't end, or even in the Old Testament, how they prayed, how they approached God and all. Number 2 here, it's a command, Matthew 5:44. Here's some commands. Love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, we do that all the time, don't we? But I don't think it's intended God strike them dead, though. You know, it's not pray for those that... How many here have had the opportunity in their Christian walk to pray for someone that was basically their enemy? Was it not of value to do that? Have you ever asked God to bless people that were mean to you? I've done that in the last 2 weeks for an indirect relationship at work. It seems like I'm always getting shot in the back for this one person. And it's like I bend over backwards as so I say, Lord, bless this person. Because I don't see the big picture, and you told me to pray for that. And that's hard for me, because I would just as soon shoot back. Matthew 6:9, in this manner, therefore, pray. And then it's the Lord's model prayer. He's commanding. It's an imperative. You be praying. You be praying. It's not an option to pray. Matthew 9:38, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That'll get into what to pray for, same with the enemy's thing. But we're told to pray. Matthew 7:7, a different word for prayer, but ask and it will be given to you. And it says be, it's telling us to ask, it's telling us to seek, it's telling us to knock. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. You see those in combination quite a bit. Watching and praying together. Praying is militarily strategic, if you will, from a spiritual vantage point. You cannot walk with God with effectiveness without praying on an ongoing basis. It goes with that. Here's Luke 18. Jesus said this too. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The King James says not to faint. We did a leadership retreat on that whole concept of discouraged disciples. That was like 4 or 5 years ago now. But that not to lose heart. Praying seems to go hand in hand with not being discouraged. So the idea of how to react when you are discouraged. You know, what to do. Up at the top, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watched with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. We're commanded again, always. And then Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And here's the command, let your requests be made known to God. We're commanded to do that. Colossians 4, 2 and the first part of verse 3, continue earnestly in prayer. Does that sound like it's giving you an option? Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. There's that watchfulness idea again. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word. That ties in with salvation there that we were just talking about. Something how to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, pray without ceasing. There's that continual nature of prayer. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. So praying would be probably asking, and then giving thanks is another part of prayer, as we talked about last week. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Have you get the idea that prayer is to be ongoing, continual? And then it says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. This is the concept of being watchful again. And it has to do with understanding the times. Prayer is tied in with your understanding of the times. Well, I tell you, it's easier and easier to pray in our day. And I say that not in any kind of joking form. And it's getting so bad from my perspective, from, you know, politically, religiously, all of those things. So it presses on you. Questions number 2. We pray because we can. We pray because we should. The key word for number 1 is we pray because we can. What's the key word? Privilege. We pray because we should. The key word is command, okay? Number 3, we are to be praying because others pray. We pray because we can. We pray because we should. We pray because others prayed. Key word here is examples. Examples again. Prayer to God was characteristic of those that walked with God in the Bible. Now, before you read on here, what did we say was a characteristic or synonymous with the idea of saints or believers last week? We kind of used it just as an introduction. It was out of 1 Corinthians 1:2. Well, they called the Corinthians holy ones, the saints, and we talked about that. But it said, and to all who... No? That's true, but that's not what I'm kidding. All who call upon the name of the Lord. Remember that? That is a characteristic of believers. That's why Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't a salvation verse. It's a quote from the Old Testament. Because in Romans 10:12 it says, for the same Lord is gracious to all who call on Him. And then Paul quotes from Joel 2:32. He says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Jew or Greek. And then it says, and how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You have to believe before you can pray. You have to believe before you can call on the name of the Lord. But calling on the name of the Lord is a characteristic. You see it in the Old and the New Testament. David says, you know, I want to be around those who are calling on your name. That's characteristic of that, okay? We are praying because others prayed, and that's characteristic. Old Testament believers, and I've listed some here. Abraham prayed. Hannah prayed for a baby. God gave her several. Samuel was the first. Jane prayed for another baby, and we were discussing us, what should we call this baby if it's a boy? And she was just, of course it's Samuel. It was interesting, but she, do you think God would give us another one? Said, honey, you pray away. So anyway, but we have a little Sambo there. I call him Sambo. But Daniel prayed. I'm wrestling with what we're going to talk about next week and how to pray, because you can just look at the life of Daniel and how he prayed. You know, he prayed routinely, but he prayed also unselfishly for other people, things like. You know, but his prayer life. Nehemiah prayed. That was his response. Always the difficulty or whatever was prayer. Elijah prayed. He was a man just like we were. He prayed. He's brought up in James 5. And then he prayed and it didn't rain. Okay. He was a man of like passions. Who else prayed in the Old Testament? David? Yeah. Psalms? Yes. Mm-hmm. Who else? I didn't try to list them all, and I didn't even refer to them because of... I already got Daniel on the list there. I have Abraham, Hannah, Daniel, Nehemiah, and Elijah. But they prayed, you know, Moses prayed when and Miriam when the Egyptians were wiped out in the Red Sea, right? Just on and on. Solomon prayed. Just over and over. Prayer is an act of the saints. They prayed, so we should pray. That was their characteristic. How about New Testament believers? I've listed verses here. For sake of time, I'll just read them. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer. The early church, that was one of the things. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. Those are the four things in Acts 2. Acts 12:5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. They prayed when someone was incarcerated, one of their leaders. Acts 13:3, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Who did they send out? In Antioch. Actually, they sent out... was it Barnabas and Saul here or Silas? I don't remember. It was Paul and somebody, right? We'll have to look. Somebody can look it up real quick and verify Acts 13 if you want to look it up real quick. Who was the other one? Saul and Barnabas. Was it that them? I don't know why I have Silas. Silas joined him later, didn't he? So that was the first time Paul was sent out. They prayed and fasted, which is another part of prayer. Acts 13:1. Who did they set apart? Set apart Anthony, Saul and Barnabas. You're right. Well, there were several leaders that they list there, but the Holy Spirit says, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. So it is Saul and Barnabas. You're right, Annie. Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The apostle said, it's not fit for us to leave the Word of God and serve tables. People need to eat, but if we do that, we keep from ministering the Word and keep from praying. There seems to be a leadership level of praying that takes sometimes diminish in our age. I went through 4 years of Bible college and some seminary, and no one really emphasized, not that they didn't emphasize prayer, but the idea that there's a leadership level of prayer. The apostle said we can't be serving tables and be praying the way we should, which is a huge thing. It's making a huge statement. Romans 1:9, God is my witness that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul, 2 Corinthians 13:9, and this also we pray that you may be made complete. So the praying for the growth here, one of the things was here to help us grow, wasn't it? To grow us, okay? And then the biggest one here is Jesus. It's like if we are going to truly be Christian, Christ-like, we have to be praying because Jesus prayed, which blows me away. Couldn't Jesus do anything he wanted? I mean, as far as his ability, he's still God, right? He's God in the flesh. He could do anything he wanted. Why did he give us an example? Most certainly. The Bible says also he learned obedience. That doesn't infer in any way that he was sinful. He went through the process of yielding to authority. The authority of God. Not my will, he prayed, but yours be done. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, right? The Bible says he learned obedience to the death of the cross. And that way, the idea of his, and then it goes back to Hebrews, we have a high priest that has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he understands where we've been. Okay, so he did it too. So Jesus prayed. John 17, we don't have time to look at John 17. We might next week when we talk about what to pray for, because it's interesting. Jesus didn't pray for people's salvation. Very interesting. He didn't pray even for their physical needs, which isn't wrong to pray for. Give us this day our daily bread is what he prayed for at least three different things, and maybe you can divide them out even more so. But one is maturity. Sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. Unity, that they may be one. And then the others, that they may bear fruits. That's interesting, though. That's what Jesus prayed for us. Those that would be saved. It's just amazing. But John 17, if you get a chance to read it this week, read through that. The entire chapter is his prayer. That is the true Lord's prayer. It's one of many he prayed, but it's a full chapter. Matthew 26:30. A little farther and fell on his face and prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That'll come up later in one of the other spiritual disciplines. I'm not sure if it's going to be third or 12th or whatever. Probably sooner rather than later. But the spiritual discipline of submitting to authority. It's interesting that even in the Godhead, there's submission to authority. And you see that throughout Scripture. You cannot walk as a Christian without yielding to the authority, because all authority is from God. But he prays, and prayer is in part yielding to God's authority. Is it not? Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive my debts as I forgive others. It's acknowledging that I need to be forgiving others. It's everything to do about me, right? As we acknowledge God rightly. Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus did this often. Jesus did so. He's not going to tell God anything he doesn't already know. It was his own benefit as he learned as the God-man. Everything, but he gave up his individual right to exercise that. Does that make sense? As he became the God-man, retained the ability to do it, but he willfully gave up the right to act on his own. Even when he was tempted, command these stones to be made bread, not a problem for the creator of the universe. But man, he quotes out of Deuteronomy 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is the authority, not my hunger even, not my own will, even on the very basic of things. Luke 5:16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I mean, if there was one verse that I could leave you, and no verse, I would leave you with this. Prayed, that's enough reason for us to pray. By what he learned, even as the perfect Son of God, going through the process of prayer, as he willfully gave up his own individual right to exercise the power of the Son of God. We are to be praying because others prayed. We pray because we can. We pray because we should. We pray because others prayed. We pray because of good. What we mean by good is benefits. The benefits we receive. There's a fourth reason, and that's the one we probably think of the most in conjunction maybe with we've been told to do so. Okay? But the benefits. We ourselves receive many benefits as we pray to God. And by the way, this list of 10 is, number one, incomplete, and it also approaches the answer to the question, why pray, based upon the idea that God already knows. Why would God have us do this if he already knows? So the answers are based upon that, and you could probably come up with 50 reasons. Letter A. By praying, we know that the results came from God. Isn't it interesting that God waits to act until we ask? Now, he lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. He doesn't cause the sun to come up only because somebody asked for it. There's certain things that happen. But as far as individually, it seems that God waits until we ask. You have not because you do not ask. That's one part of that verse. There's more of it. And then you ask and then you don't have because you ask for the wrong reason. So there's two things there. But God tells us to ask, seek, and knock, right? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But God places the responsibility to call on us. And again, probably a dependence thing. And also to know that God did this. Okay. Letter B, by praying we keep proper perspective on life. Matthew 6:9-10, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer aligns our perspective with God's correct perspective. If you will, you might think of the term calibration. I used to work for a metal fabrication plant in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we used these little calipers, and we would go down to thousandths of an inch. I remember making this one little elbow. It was ridiculous. I think they charged like $14 a piece for them. I used this little pneumatic C CNC mill. And they drilled holes and turned around and all that. But they had to be within a certain tolerance, otherwise they wouldn't accept them. They weren't good. In the same way, this calibrates. You'd send out your calipers to be calibrated so that it's accurately measuring. Prayer calibrates our heart to what we should be thinking. It isn't just, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. It's, Lord, help me to want what you want. Help me not to want what you do not want. Is it possible to have too much? Hello, we're here, you know. United States of America, I think it's the U.S. stands in Latin for too much, I think, or something. But, you know, we just were materialistic in every way. But we, to keep a proper perspective, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm here for you, not the other way around. I mean, you constantly realign yourself to that. Because we end up, the way our minds work, we always end up in the center, don't we? We're the center of our world, and God says, no, you're not, I am. You need to realign yourself. And that's what prayer does in part. And I think it's very evident just by that, those two verses. Letter C, by praying we develop true dependence on Him. Somebody said that, and I think solicit dependence. But give us this day our daily bread. Not just in physical supply, but in every way. Lord, I can't do this apart from you. By praying we gain help to be holy, Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And there's lots of other passages. It isn't a lack of passages here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I suppose you could even say it reminds us of our obligation toward others even. You know, that's just another one. God wants us to be forgiving others as we are forgiven on an ongoing basis. By praying we understand our need of His protection from the devil. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Unless we forget, we're not strong enough to defeat the devil. Ephesians 6 has a lot to say about that. Having done all to stand, praying with all supplication and prayer, that's the context of that verse there in Ephesians 6:18. That's the end of the spiritual warfare passage. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, as part after putting on the whole armor of God. Okay? Letter F, by praying we learn perseverance and waiting on Him to pray. That says, you know, if you're asking for something, someone's going to pester you. You should pray the same way, not because God needs to be pestered, but He wants you to pray in earnest, not just flippantly. He wants you to seriously pray. Letter G, by praying we understand the goodness of God. If someone will answer prayer, and a sinful human person will respond, a father giving a, you know, if a son's hungry, he won't give him a rock, you know, and all that. How much more will God give you good things to them that ask? Okay? But we learn, understand the goodness of God. Letter H, by praying we learn to care for the needs of others. One of the needs of others, we're supposed to pray for those that persecute us and spitefully use us. I talked a little bit last week about we don't know what's going through their heart and mind, and maybe God is going to use our response to their ill treatment to help them see Him. So, supplications, intercessions, prayers, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority. We're not just, prayer isn't selfish. Prayer is for us, but it's also praying for other people. And that helps, I think, grow our capacity to love and care for other people, even our enemies. By praying, we learn proper motivation in asking. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. King James says, consume it on your lusts. And then the last one here. This is where Valerie brought up earlier. By praying, we gain God's mercy and grace to help us. He's there. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Right? So, just a quick review. We pray because we can. We pray because we should. We pray because others prayed. We pray because of good. We pray because we can. It's a privilege. We pray because we should. It's a command. We pray because others prayed, the examples of others, and we pray because of good, the multitude of benefits. And we have, I don't believe we've scratched the surface with the 10 we've listed. That's why to discuss prayer, it's kind of like trying to discuss the Word of God. It's like trying to, okay, you know, bring a measuring cup of water and then talk about the Mississippi River. It's just, you can't. The Bible is just full of the discussion of prayer in every way. Even the prayer of saints in Revelation, the incense is the prayer of the saints. Those that pray for vengeance because they were beheaded in the tribulation. It is all the way through the Word of God from beginning to end. So, anyway, why pray? Pray because you can, pray because you should, pray because others pray because it's good, right? So, Ted, you can do that while you're working. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, as Annie brought out what Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. Lord, I'm afraid many times we sin because we've not obeyed you. And Lord, oftentimes we pray at the last measure, the last point, and we know that's not what you want. You want an ongoing relationship with us. And Lord, we thank you that we can pray like others have prayed and have found grace and mercy and help in time of need. And Lord, you've given us so much in the Word to teach us how to pray. And we ask, Lord, too, that you would just help us to realize all of the benefits that we have in praying. Lord, we have not because we do not ask oftentimes. And Lord, I honestly believe that we don't grow many times because we are not praying what we should be praying. We're praying our own definition of prayer. And help us to be aligned with you as we pray. And we just thank you for the abundance of teaching that you give us. Help us to be continually praying to you as we grow and change for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.